So she still needed time on that.
Well, she had to do her thing.
Okay. The call to order the Leon County Research and Development Authority Executive Committee meeting is September 1st, and we will do an introduction of guests. And,
there are no guests.
Approval of participation by electronic means. We know the drill with that. Is there a motion?
Except there's no. Tom is not a member of the executive committee
yet. He's
an incoming member.
Okay. So then we're good. We are good then. So
you understand that, right, Tom? That you're not official.
I do.
Okay. So no need to take this item up, and then modifications to the. Are there any?
I have none.
Okay. Public comments? There are none. And then approval of draft minutes for July 20th. And it'd be interesting that everybody's had a chance to read those. And so a motion.
Motion.
Second.
Okay. It's been properly motioned and seconded. The approval of the July 20th meetings. All in favor, acknowledge with aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay. First item, property and casualty insurance renewal line.
I'm going to go ahead and share the screen. Okay. Tom, are you able to see that?
I am, but I've also got it in front of me as well.
Okay, good. All right. I'll jump to, still see it. Up to the premiums, right? Page 20 of 38 of attachment B. So you'll see that the cost of the insurance has gone up just slightly. This does not include versus fixed fee of $5,000, which continues to remain the same. Here's. Now is that property insurance continues to be based on a $25,000 wind and hail damage deductible. If you recall, we've addressed this in the past where we could probably save a little bit of premium by going to a higher risk deductible, which is a percentage base, which is around 2%, I believe. Is what, and we continue to save. This $25,000 fixed deductible is grandfathered in, and should we ever choose not to do it, we could never go back. So just not offered anymore. Another issue that's come up is because of the construction of the North Florida Innovation Labs, we looked at the fact that the umbrella coverage we have does not include construction. So we've discussed it with the broker, and we're going to stay with what we have for the moment until we question, and then we'll amend the policy and potentially even change carriers to get that coverage. Right now, the extra premium is about $3,000 or $2,500 a year. You can see that down here. A $1 million umbrella, which is what we currently have. And the difference between that and this $48.26, if we wanted a similar premium, we could lower that umbrella to $5 million and get that the construction coverage. But what I suggest do is wait until we get closer to construction, because if we items on the agenda, best to look at it at trying to okay, we moved at 6 months, would put us almost into the next policy. I think it's worth waiting. Look at that. We have it on the radar. All the coverage.
What about insurance for construction in progress?
That's
what that is.
That's umbrella coverage. That's umbrella coverage for that. And okay. Then there will also be some insurance requirements placed on the contractors for that. Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to point out, which is we this year to do appraisals on our buildings. We haven't done them for some time, but just to make sure that we have adequate policy limits for the property. In the past, the broker could do that. Apparently, they're no longer allowed to do that by law. Replacement cost limits of the policy. Given the market. So most of it actually is, if you look, is around their liability. that's a policy that we added last year. And as we all know, with the things that are going on with have you answered any questions?
I move approval of Brown & Brown, the proposed renewal of property casualty insurance.
With the property and casualty insurance renewal, all in favor, acknowledge it, aye. Opposition, motion carries. Creation of the packet to review the summary of regulation material as well as the survey that's been done, those operating, that we can be in on that information. And then finally, the historical perspective related to Ron's salary, both from when he started with the organization as a contract employee to the point of being hired as a full-time employee. And you see in the note, there is information that talks about the executive committee has provided guidance in the past related to the salary. And what it looks like the marks are very good. I looked at it in more areas than not. There were increases in terms of board member feedback and perception of the quality of work throughout. And then that in many of the cases, it stayed steady, which was at a high mark already. But we welcome your
I'm sure if it's open, then I wouldn't be. I just said we're very fortunate to have Ron as our executive director. I see that the he's ticked up slightly and almost superior all the way across the board. Comments were very good. I particularly want to note the progress we've made in the for us, a great opportunity. Looking at historical salary increases, and I'd like just to pitch something out for discussion. I'm not recommending it yet, but we'd like to hear other comments. For discussion, $5,000 increase plus a $2,000 bonus for the fact that we secured the ever given a bonus? I don't know. I think legally we can. It's not based on anything that was otherwise. I'm hearing some no that we can't give it a bonus.
No, I. My understanding is that you cannot give pay for prior performance unless it's based on a plan. In one way, shape, or form, this in the past.
Team has done to your you have.
It's 5,000.
Okay.
Just based on, you know, past history.
Okay. And then Kevin, any comments from you, sir?
Ron, I think you've done a great job. I think that as you and I have engaged in conversations about the operations and the initiatives and the plans for Innovation Park and LCRDA, it's a complicated process. There's a lot to it, and I think you've managed several challenging facets of this operation and very well. I'm encouraged by your vision for where we're gonna go, and I think that that you continue to be a strong performer for LCRDA and for the community. The history of your raises is probably more aggressive than certainly it's more aggressive than what's seen at the state level. What have the county and the city, what have they done recently for performance?
And I do not know what that's been. And I would say, of course, when we look at the state, that's just been sporadic all together. And I could not compare it to even the university side of the house because they haven't received any raises, the college
right.
staff either. So I don't, yeah.
Maintaining the step ups that we've done in your position historically is my opinion, and it is, or my understanding is, it's more aggressive than certainly than anything that we've done on the state side. I understand that you're not a state employee. I don't know exactly how it compares to the city and the county. I would like to propose that we and make a motion that we step up in the same pattern that we have in the past, which is that $5,000 increment. That's a recognition of a lot of hard work. And I do think it measures strong against what we're seeing locally in our market.
Okay, so there was a motion and
a. Yeah, let me ask Tom Allen. I know he's not a member of Keep Voting All, mm-hmm. but Tom, do you have any idea what this raise would look like in the banking profession? It'd be a 3.2% increase. Is that kind of where that is relative to your company, or do you know?
You're still muted, Tom. You're muted.
Okay, thank you. The ranges that we see in the banking industry are 2.5 to 3.5 annual.
So this would be a 3.1. I'll second the motion.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second of looking for 3.1. All in favor, please acknowledge with aye.
And that's effective October 1.
Effective October 1.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Opposition? None. Motion carries. Ron, thank you for.
And does that have to go to the full board for
yes.
approval?
Yes, it will go okay. to the full board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And Dave, I appreciate the housing the bonus.
I'm thinking of you, Ron.
Yeah. And I do want to reiterate that the compensation committee did get to take a look at this, and that's they did meet this past mm-hmm. summer. So that was considered. I also want to say that I have taken to heart the comments, and I do appreciate the comments. I try to discern patterns from the summary of the numbers, but you know, everyone's got their own scale on you know what a 3 means versus a 4. But you know, the comments mean a lot. And I think the you know, a couple of takeaways, primarily being around the community PR and the engagement piece. I you know, I've seen that consistently and we're working hard to make that happen. I've done a couple of speaking opportunities here recently, and I've gotten a lot of good feedback on it. So I think it's just something that we can keep going on from that perspective. And I think we can also with what Karen's bringing to the table, I think we're going to be able to do a lot more of the community engagement as well. So, and I know Kevin's got a lot to talk about around that when we get there in October. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to next year. We got a great team now that I think we're gonna continue to move forward. We've got a lot of challenges, obviously, but it's all very encouraging what's going on. So thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Ron. Thank you again.
Madam Chair, and I might address this to the incoming chair too, but I'd like to suggest when we pull together the compensation committee next year that we really revisit this and put some more clear identifiable goals and expectations relative to revenue, relative to things like that.
That will actually spill over into my chair's report today, because that's one of the last things that I have to do to transition out. And that is what was brought up earlier in the year when we brought forward the compensation report and we agreed that we would do it in October. So know that that will happen.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. The next item is the asphalt paving services. Ron, our favorite topic.
I know asphalt's exciting. If you recall, the board sent the RFP back to the budget committee for reconsideration relative to our existing budget. The fact that the RFPs came in substantially higher than what we had budgeted, and the budget committee agreed that we should cancel and recommends that we should cancel the RFP for this upcoming year and reevaluate towards the end of the year to budget for next year. And we will continue to monitor the paving costs. We found a mechanism for doing that through the FDOT has an index on asphalt. Bituminous, is that how you pronounce it? Bituminous? Yes.
Very good. I would
have
thought. Okay.
Yeah.
It makes sense, but yeah. Okay.
It's a petroleum product. So,
kind of. Bituminous.
Bituminous. I knew this didn't sound right.
Thank you, Tom. You're always good.
That's the British pronunciation.
I got you.
Okay, so we have that action item of approval of the recommendation to cancel the RFP.
So moved.
Yeah, so we second your actions on it.
As chair of the budget committee, we wrestled with that pretty good. And that's the conclusion we had.
And I think it's the right conclusion at this point. So, okay, so it's been properly motioned and second that we move forward with canceling RFP 2102. All in favor, acknowledge with aye.
Aye.
Opposition. Okay, motion carries. And then our 21-2022 budget.
Well, Madam Chair, as your budget committee chair, I'd have to say we're struggling with a budget. I really commend Ron for the diligence he's put into this, the struggle he's had with it. We've had budgets in the past where we budgeted lost years and came out at the end of the year pretty decent. I think that'll be the case with our 2021 year. But we're budgeting for a loss of $78,000, and that's pretty significant. And as your treasurer next year, I am going to propose that we remove from the consent agenda the financials and spend 1 or 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes, just kind of reviewing where we are. We're all fiduciarily responsible for the operation of this organization. I think each of us needs to recognize we are expected as governors to be looking for new sources of revenue. We were really hurt when we lost the FSU anthropology contract. That hit us for approximately $188,000 a year, which we've been able to enjoy. Now, the offset to that is that we did pick up career sources in the Morgan building for $80,000, but that still leaves us with a $76,000 drop in that rental category. And so a struggle there is to get more occupancy.
Right.
We've had some other income items this year that won't be repeated. We had the groundbreaking by Dan Foss. We had an issue where a former employee ended with getting a $77,000 check, retribution coming back to us. And so all in all, we're going to end up, I think, with 2021 a good year. But the challenge is going to be, once again, for 21-22. But the budget committee recommends the budget as you have seen in your output. If you have specifics that need to drill down, we'd ask Ron to help us with that. But expenses stay pretty much in line, but revenue drops kind of precipitously bad. Any questions, I'd be glad to answer, but I'll probably pass them on over to Ron.
So we thank you for your continued service and steady hand with this committee, and I would concur then as a former chair that looking in detail at the budget and having that conversation will be an important one as we go throughout next year. Ron, is there any other comments that you'd like to add?
Yeah, I do want to reiterate, and nice job, Dave. I think that's the least I've ever had to do in presenting the budget.
Yeah.
I like that. So just keep in mind that the way this budget is constructed is based on what's known today.
Correct.
And we are certainly not going to sit on our hands when it comes to trying to lease the space that's out there. So there's a good opportunity to go out and lease this space. We're also taking other steps through the, and I think I mentioned before in the special meeting, to expend some of the Danfoss MOU money mm-hmm. To get space leasable and usable. So, we're going to try to drive that top line to get some of the cover that deficit. So
I have no doubt. And I know with the work that Bill has been leading up with the other grant opportunities and how successful we've been at that with partnering. Yeah, I believe it will be.
Yeah, of that $268,000 we're getting from Danfoss, we're proposing about $200,000 of it to be used for carpet paint and ceiling tiles for the Collins and Morgan building to get those up in better shape for presentation to future tenants. I might also mention there's a $30,000 provision in there in the event that we had to replace or repair HVAC stuff. Okay. And $150,000 in there for elevator refurbishment and also for council and consulting fees associated with that. So those are two big items that did not repeat in the prior year are of note.
Yeah, I recall our long conversations about that infamous elevator. We need them, but golly, they're expensive. Yeah.
And then maybe we attack the asphalt the year for that.
Yeah. But again, all in all, thank you again for looking at a great closing out of the year as we go into the new year, knowing that we're going to be very focused and diligent to look at other resources.
We replaced that $188,000 rent week in asphalt lot.
Yeah.
Well, that would just cover the asphalt.
Yeah, not. Yeah. So, Kevin, any comments from you, and then we'll go into the motion on it.
This is to Dave's point. I think we will spend spend the appropriate amount of time in each of the meetings over the next fiscal year paying attention to this. One of the things that Ron and I have started talking about that we will examine in greater detail starting at the meeting next month is this idea of trajectory and understanding where we are in our life cycle, what the opportunities are that are in front of us, making sure that we focus our operations on things that will carry us in a healthy direction, again, from a financial perspective and that trajectory, and then look at some other opportunities, maybe things that we haven't as a board necessarily considered in the past, and what can we do to position us healthy into the future. So we'll dig into it, but the operational side of this is so incredibly important, and Ron, you and your team have been great stewards of these resources, and we're going to continue to build on the platforms that you've created.
Thank you.
We need to help. Madam Chair, as your budget chair, I'll make a motion that we send this forward to the board with our recommendation that it be approved, item one and item two. I recommend that we remove from the consent agenda the treasurer's report each time and have it as a separate agenda item in each board meeting.
Is there a second?
There's a second.
Okay, so it's been properly motioned and second, the approval of the budget and the approval of having the item be presented and pulled from the consent as an actually presented item in our future meetings. All in favor, please acknowledge aye.
Aye.
Opposition? Motion carries.
Is there a desire to have this budget on consent or on the regular agenda? For the approval of the budget itself?
Oh, you're, okay, I see what you're saying.
Do you want that on consent or do you want that on?
I'd rather have that as an agenda item.
Okay. It's fine.
Okay. Actually.
Oh, yeah. It's not fine with me. It's fine with me.
I think it's important.
Force a habit. I promise you I'll switch gears when I'm on the other side of this table.
You sit in a different chair.
Yeah, I know. He'll maybe not be. Yeah. Okay. Innovation Park Tallahassee board appointments. And again, Juan, if you want to speak.
Yeah, so as you all may recall, that the board has the right to appoint the majority of the IPTLH board of directors. In the past, the board has appointed the officers of LCRDA to be the board members for IPTLH. And this item recommends that those appointments be made based on the changes in the officers upcoming as of October 1. So that would appoint, that would recommend that Tim Moore resign as of October 1, and that Tom Allen and Dave Ramsey be appointed to the board. And Kevin Graham is already on the board, so he can stay on that.
Absolutely. Is there a motion?
Well, could I suggest that instead of we use the word that she be asked to resign, that she be asked to not stand for reappointment? Just playing with the words, that she not be reappointed.
Technically, she would be resigning from the board, so that she would have no more obligations. It's not an appointment. It's
Is it an annual appointment that expires at the end of each year?
No.
I think it's by virtue of the officer role that you hold, isn't it?
No, it isn't. I mean, that's just the approach that we've taken. It doesn't actually say that in there, but that's the approach the board has taken in the past. I understand what you're saying. It's semantics, but
yeah. She's too good just to be out of that.
Get her done. Yeah.
I don't know if legally it makes a difference.
Okay.
I think you want, from a legal standpoint, I think you want a clean break, that there's no ambiguity as to whether or not you're serving in any capacity on the board. That's the only reason I would.
If you feel that strong about it, I will agree.
I'm just doing it for her sake.
Yeah. I didn't want there to be any implication that we're asking her to resign for any other reason than she no longer serves.
We didn't ask her. We recommended that she
resign. So be it.
I appreciate
it. Yes,
I want to protect you, ma'am.
I love you all. I do. Sure, Bill.
A quick question. Since it's a different corporate entity, would IPTLH ultimately make the decision about accepting new officers?
Yes, this is the LCRDA's appointments and recommendations.
Got it.
There will be a meeting immediately following the LCRDA board meeting where the outgoing and incoming board members will meet to vote on those things. But this is the deal with the fact that LCRDA has the majority of the appointments on that side.
Yeah.
Understood. Thank you.
Okay, Kevin, are you ready for second on that for my resignation?
Yes.
Okay. So it's been properly motioned and second that we would act accordingly with the board appointments for the IPTLH board, with Dave being added along with Tom Allen and Kim Moore transitioning. All in favor, acknowledge with aye.
Aye.
Opposition? Motion carries. Okay.
And it would be desired at some point in the future, we could probably amend the LCRDA bylaws to automatically make the officers
the appointment in
the appointments
at the point
to the IPTLH board.
Mm-hmm.
I would say we may have board members who have some specific expertise that should be on that other board virtue of their knowledge and understanding versus their position on this board. I think I'd leave it at we report or okay. We recommend.
That's probably a good way to look at it.
Okay.
So our Innovation Park Tallahassee TRC committee appointments.
So we have had this committee, which is created as a result of the covenants and restrictions for the park.
And it has its specific requirements as to who has to be on there. It has to include an architect. According to the our development agreement with the city, we're required to have a representative from the city of Tallahassee Growth Management Planning Department. So we've had some turnover in folks. So we were able to recruit Brad Richardson, who is the then the other piece is the representative from DEP, who is the represents the Board of Trustees of the Internal Improvement Trust Fund, to have their representative on there as well. So we have Brad Richardson, who is the Bureau Chief for the Public Land Administration for DEP, has agreed to serve. John Reddick, the planner for the City of Tallahassee Growth Management, has actually been serving on the DRC, but I don't know that we ever did a formal appointment, and I thought it'd be appropriate to go ahead and do that based on some of the things that Dave has mentioned about doing formal appointments. And then Ben Hood was recommended by Cam Lewis, or Cam Whitlock, I'll get that right. Somebody else did that too.
Yeah, somebody.
They are kind of one of the same. Cam recommended Ben with Morbass Consulting. I thought it would be important to have a civil engineer on the DRC. There tends to be more civil engineering issues than there are architectural issues. It's really more about the land site plan and evaluation, those sort of things. So Ben came highly recommended. I've met with him. I've met with Brad and given Brad an orientation as to what we're doing. And then he actually was the one who then recommended that I present to their entire division, which I did. But these all three are very good people at what they do, and I recommend they be appointed to the Innovation Park Development Review Committee.
And before we go into a motion, I just want to say when Ron and I were doing our one-on-one, it was really great to hear, one, the interest in the park itself. People were really excited and wanted to be a part of what we have going on. And so I think it just speaks a lot to the work that we've been able to undertake and complete. So good job on that, and great time.
I'm sure I might add that if we make that formal statement in writing, mm-hmm. then they will be covered by our D&O insurance policy, which is important, I think.
Yeah, we have Peggy working on the letters, and we will have those letters when the board ratifies. This will go on consent, unless someone wishes to do it otherwise. But this will go on consent, and we'll have those ready for Kevin to sign when the board ratifies that decision.
Okay.
Move step recommendation.
Okay. Is there a second? Sure. Okay. Properly motion and second. The appointments to the DRC committee. All in favor? Knowledge of aye.
Aye.
Opposition? Motion carries. And then our EDA grant request for extension,
Ron. Okay, so as we all know, we have more costs than we have funds. We don't have enough time. We do. I think we could still get there. It's still a possibility, but I think it would make sense that upon the award of the additional funding that's been discussed, that we go back and then ask for additional time. I've had a brief conversation with the EDA project manager. That's what he recommended. If we're going to ask for more time, wait. He suggested do it in November. And that would give us two things. One is more time to go out and raise more money if we need it. And the second is to give the construction markets hopefully time to stabilize. They're already starting to see some of the things improve with, for example, lumber prices, even though it doesn't necessarily directly impact us, but hopefully that'll give time for the supply chains to work out the kinks and, you know, ships being able to get into ports and, you know, things like that. So so my recommendation is that we ask for 6 months. He said they could probably go up to 6 months. I think that he said formally they have a 24-month window to break ground from when the award happens, even though they give us 18.
Right.
He never told me that before. But when I first suggested 3 months, he didn't think that would be a problem. But I think we asked for six, and
right.
and if we get three,
so be it, but we'll ask
that,
for
that's
max.
Fine. I know there's a risk. You know, there's still a risk. Who knows what's going to happen next with COVID and the markets, and you see the craziness that's happening in the stock mm-hmm. market, and who knows how all that's going to unfold.
But I do think more time would help us in a couple of ways. I think there's an added benefit, which is, you know, it's going to be November before we find out about the 501c3. Bill needs to go out and raise money for equipment, and other fixtures. I think more time is better. So yeah. my recommendation is that we ask for 6 months and take what we get.
For motion?
Food staff recommendation.
And second.
Okay. Properly motion and second. The request for extension of time to construction be increased. All in favor, please acknowledge with aye.
Aye.
Opposition? Motion carries. And then the chair's report again, just one item on that, and that's really what we talked about earlier, is that we want to make sure that as we transition, that the evaluation tool would be updated on my watch to take into account what the compensation committee said and to align with what the goals are, specifically for Ron going into the next year. And staff reports. Executive Director Ron.
Okay. A lot of stuff going on. So we did get the application submitted last week after the special meeting. Submitted the roughly $2.2 million ask of the EDA. Still waiting for a formal response from them. Not unusual to not get an immediate response. I did reach out and finally connected with OEB about trying to get some additional funding for the EDA grant match, and the answer was, we don't have any money. I think there's a long line out their door for money right now, and I did ask that, you know, she at least stay aware of our need, and if there's opportunities to come up, let us know and we'll do what we got to do.
She'd be Christina.
Christina, sorry, yes. I also asked about the use of the Danfoss MOU money for matching, because under our MOU, it's not specifically spelled out that we could use it for that. So she's running that up the flagpole to see what we need to do, if anything, because there is a provision for amending the MOU if necessary. So we'll see what we've got to do paperwork-wise to get that done. And then we worked with Truist, and Keith Bowers brought this up, to work with Truist on exploring new market tax credits for additional funding potential for the North Florida Innovation Labs. They can do both equity and or debt. But what we're finding out is that they're, according to Truist, that they have to go through some underwriting process first to see if there's anything bankable there. And so if they could do a bridge loan for some or all of it, and if there's a gap after that, then they can go look at the new market tax credits. Bill and I haven't fully vetted the how accurate that is. This person is not the expert in new market tax credits, but that was the initial response that we got. So one of the things that they need to look at is the pro forma, and Bill is working on that pro forma. I think we've got a little bit left to do to finalize that, the pro forma for the new facility and the operations. He's also putting together the business plan, updating that. But based on that information, we'll be able to then respond to what they need to go see what's necessary, you know, and what's possible with which original. And we'll have to do that no matter what happens at some point. We're going to have to explore that. So you have a question, Kevin?
No, not a question, but a comment. I believe it's Dr. Minji Kim at FSU that is one of the authorities in new market tax credits, I think. Might be somebody to talk with.
Who is it?
Dr. Minji Kim.
Minji Kim.
I think. And please forgive if I've...
Bill, you want to explore that?
College of Business?
No.
This man?
I don't recall.
Well, if you want to look and find out more for us, we'd appreciate that. But he can, in the meantime, he can look and see. I did just receive an updated cost estimate from Cam. They did a more formal, detailed cost estimate with an outside consultant. It's still based on the design development phase. We'll know more once we get through the 50% construction drawing phase. If you, The big challenge is they still have a lot of contingencies plugged into this thing. So in my estimation, if you take out some of the contingencies, which just says, here's where we're at today, forget about what happens in the future. If you take some of those things out, we're somewhere between, with the added funding from EDA, we're somewhere between break even and $2.8 million short. So that's the range that I've got. And now clearly a lot can happen in the next few months, but and Cam's recommendation is obviously go find the 2.8 million because budget for the worst. So that's what I mean, we're gonna pursue that. But in terms of my response to EDA in terms of what we needed, I feel good that based on the data that's available to us based on today, that we're in the right place.
So we can name it Kevin Graham Innovation and Facility for a $3 million gift.
When you owe the bank $300,000, you have a problem. When you owe the bank $3 million, they got a problem.
And finally, this afternoon we have the Dan Foss groundbreaking, so we're excited about that. I wish we could all be there and celebrate, but I'm sure when we get to the grand opening, there'll be a great celebration. So Kim and I will be representing the LCODA at that event this afternoon.
That triggers some money.
What's that?
That triggers some money.
The ceremony. There's still some debate on whether the ceremony triggers it or actual groundbreaking. It's not that clear on the language, but we'll argue that
point. Are they going to put a shovel in the ground tomorrow?
Today? This afternoon? Yeah, I saw the dirt.
That's
a
groundbreaking.
They got piles of dirt over there. So I'm trying to get the grass cut, but that's all I've got.
And just to add on, I told you all that the press was coming over. It's actually related to a Dan Foss partnership that we sent a media release out for yesterday. So it actually aligns. So, okay. Innovation Lands, Bill. Good stuff.
Thank you. Piggybacking on what Don had to say, we're deep into design and we're making some decisions as we move through that process. I plugged in just so we get an estimate, a vendor that Domi has used, Proximity, for access control and management of that. They have a more sophisticated product now, and so that's been integrated into the design. We are chasing money. There's a lot of funding that's come down through EDA. We're collaborating with other partners to chase several of those grants. There are two big deadlines in October, and then three major deadlines in January. And we will either be the lead or a sub on several of these collaborations. Related to that, there are other grant opportunities that we're pursuing with Ford A&M and other partners. There is a large federal direction to work with HBCUs, so there are carve-outs that are specific to HBCUs. And we're being creative with how we can leverage what we have to generate additional funds, including utilizing some of the space that we have as an in-kind match to effectively fund companies occupying the space at a regular rent rate, but wrapped into a larger funding opportunity. We're going through, and it's in the budget, the ARPA grants for the city and county that may be somewhat complicated because we have to invoice both the city and the county for the same line items, but we're working through that. We'll do what we need to do to accept free money.
There's nothing in life that's free, right?
Right. We've had several inquiries from new potential members. Piersica is moving into the facility. They're also taking an office and they're relocating an engineer here. They've got funding, so they will have an operation both here and in the Chicago area. We are meeting with Bancorp on Thursday. They're looking at taking offices in the facility as well. In terms of community engagement, we continue to work with our partners across the community. I had the opportunity to attend a meeting last week with the Florida Business Incubation Association. That was a fantastic meeting, just really good groups of people. I met with the folks at UF. We're getting together. They're going to share what they know, tell us all the secrets. Similarly, with the Tampa Innovation Center and the University of South Florida. And Madam Chair, I may chat you up. I also met with the folks at Hillsborough Community College, and they appear to have a great program that supports that ecosystem. So
they are recognized nationally.
Yeah, and they're really very, very energized from that meeting, particularly because there were big chunks of things that we need to know that we have a path towards knowing and having an understanding of the state of the present. In addition to that, I'll be chairing the Aero Group, and the first meeting of that group is this Thursday. That's the Alliance of Entrepreneurial Resource Organizations. Those will also be some of our partners as we chase these EDA grants. One of the big focuses of that is inclusion, equity, and collaboration. So we're well positioned to chase those. Last but not least, working with Karen on marketing initiatives, both the ones that are on the agenda now and the ones that will be ramping up with a new budget and accelerating towards the opening of North Florida Innovation Labs.
Great report. I'm really glad that we are expanding our network and our ecosystem and are operating with the folks that have been in it for a while and we can learn from and grow with. So, yeah. Other comments? Okay, then Karen, we'll transition to your report.
Well, I was going to say that I've been working with Bill on some.
Everybody's been working again.
That was a good segue.
My main focus right now is on Tech Grant Elevator Pitch Night. So we've got some social media posts going, and I just created a Facebook event. So if you're on Facebook and you go to the Innovation Park page, if you share it and do all those great things with it, that'd be awesome. Trying to secure some more sponsorships. The finalists are getting their PR coaching sessions, so they should be ready to go, and I'll do a crash course in Zoom to get ready for the event itself. On office leave scene, I'm working on reworking the pages that we have now on the website so that we can put more focus on them and hopefully, you know, promote those through social media posts and things like that. And Ron has frequently referred to it as drinking from the fire hose, and I would like to add with the fire at my door, but so it's a lot to learn.
So Karen, what's our count as far as participants in the upcoming Tech Grant competition?
As far as attendees?
Not attendees, but those that will be. Yeah, the plan that, what's
five,
it?
Five finalists.
Oh, five finalists.
Five
okay.
Finalists. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, five finalists. Okay, and then the sponsorship, how far are we from our goal?
I think we're at 5,000.
Yeah.
Out of eight, typical.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So we've got what Hancock Whitney Bank is. A presenting sponsor.
Okay.
Danfoss, we're trying to get nailed down. Some of the communication got dropped in transition, but I thought we'd wait until after the opening today, the groundbreaking today. But I think they still probably want to do it, so we probably have that to add. That's another $2,000.
Okay.
So we're pretty close.
Okay.
In terms, and we don't have quite the cost when we do it virtually as we would if we were doing it in person. So and it is a fundraising opportunity, but at the same time, we're not going to lose money.
Okay, I was just thinking about a bank in particular that we might want to look at, but okay.
Well, with Hancock Whitcomb.
Oh yeah, so we don't want any competition there.
Yeah, okay. The banks. Okay. Unless Capital City Bank wants to write a check, Tom.
I've got it into our marketing people, and I'm guessing they will.
Is that a problem with Hancock Whitney also being the?
You know, I mean, it's not the best thing, but
okay.
we try to support the community.
We appreciate that, Tom. Thank you.
How about the Bill Smith Lab?
You know, I was thinking about the Dave Ramsey Lab.
So it's been Kevin's. It's been okay. For your report, Karen, we appreciate it. Is there any new?
Chair, I'd like to take this moment to acknowledge and recognize the work you've done the last 2 years, Chair. We have a great deal, breaking stuff. I appreciate the hard work you put into it. Thank you again for those long hours. I acknowledge your work.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you all. I shared with Ron as you know, you do the hallmark moments as you prepare for the transition and kind of the hallmark moments at your 2 year mark. Knowingly, it's 2 years.
We just had that conversation.
Yeah, it's 2 years, so don't. But just sharing with Ron, I've always had an appreciation of the work that happens here. But because he and I have had to work so closely when you're chair, I said, I just want you to know that, I mean, a lot of what I thought, even when doing the rating and evaluation each year, I'd say, oh, no, we're not hitting on that. He's already having it done. It's done well before it reaches his body. So I got a chance to really appreciate just how well our team is working. And sometimes when you're not hearing something, it's not because it's not being done. It's because it's already done. So I just appreciate the opportunity to serve. It's been my pleasure.
And at the same time, I thanked her for her leadership as well. And it's been remarkable to work with her. And it's amazing how much energy she has for all the stuff that she does. Yeah, it's been great.
Well, and from my perspective, you've established a great pattern. Your work is fantastic. Your leadership has been second to none, and the standard that creates, I mean, behind you is a bit of a daunting task. So, I thank you for your leadership.
Well, it is indeed a pleasure, and I look forward to watching you, Kevin. I know it's going to be spectacular. I have no doubt. So, a great team and all of that, then we would move to adjourn.
Well, thanks. We've got the agenda through in half the time. That's
you know, I'll manage an agenda. Absolutely.